Okay, so far on the show, we've covered politics, race, abortion, all topics where people cannot stand, let alone tolerate, the other side's point of view. So we thought, let's push it a little bit more.
Oh, absolutely.
Israel-Palestine, a place where tolerating each other definitely has not worked.
Living in a conflict zone is quite a traumatic thing.
This is Aziz Abu Sara. He's Palestinian, and he grew up in East Jerusalem.
When I went to school, when I was 6, 7 years old, my mom would give me an onion every morning. Now, it wasn't because that was my lunch. It was because an onion is what we believed helps if you shot at tear gas.
If tear gas is shot at you, you would
you
use
cut
an
an onion and you put it close to your nose, and if you inhale it, the idea is you won't pass out. And that was one of the important things. Every morning, you know, normally the moms will figure out the sandwich and the do you have your homework. My mom would make sure I have my onion. You know, having soldiers on the way being checked or shot at, even, that was not an abnormal thing. It was a normal lifestyle.
What was your perception of Jews or Israelis?
Oh, when I was a child, my understanding was an occupier, an attacker, somebody who limits my freedom, somebody who wants to kill me, somebody who hates me. That's the only thing I knew. And my only interaction were with soldiers and the settlers who we didn't like each other. I didn't have access to anybody else to give me a different point of view.
But today, Aziz works on building relationships between Palestinians and Israelis, between Muslims, Jews, and Christians. And he uses a tool that might surprise you. We'll get to what he does and his TED Talk in a bit. But how he came to do this, it actually started with his older brother, Taysir, who he kind of worshipped as a kid.
He was more of a parent for me than really a brother.
That's because Aziz was the youngest of seven kids. And by the time he was born, his parents kind of had their hands full.
You know, when I went to school my first day, he was the person who took me to school. When I had a problem with my teachers, he's the one who showed up. When I had my birthday, he's the one who set up my birthday party.
They weren't just close. Taysir meant everything to Aziz. And so it's why he was absolutely crushed when one morning, Israeli soldiers came looking for his brother.
It was Ramadan. We were woken up around 5 in the morning, and the soldiers came into our room, asked everyone for their ID. And when they saw his ID, they asked him to go with them. We didn't hear anything for quite a while. Eventually, my dad found out that he was suspected of throwing rocks and that he eventually confessed. We knew only later that he held on and refused to confess, and he was beaten up until he did. But by the time he did, he had quite a lot of health damage.
Was he eventually released?
Yes, but he didn't spend much time home because right away after he was taken to the hospital, and he died exactly a year after he was arrested.
What was the cause that they gave?
He had internal injuries. He had a spleen failure, had a liver failure, and they had nothing they could do to save him. And so, to me, it was very clear that somebody was responsible, and the somebody was the Israeli soldiers who arrested him.
How did that change your life and the way you looked at the world?
It felt to me like as if somebody has punched me in the face. And my reaction was, I want to hit back. I want the person who killed my brother to feel the pain. But I was 10 years old, so I didn't know what even that means. What do you do? I just became angry, I became bitter, and I started looking for ways to seek revenge.
And that meant going to protests and throwing stones at Israeli soldiers.
When somebody kills your brother, you hate them. And when you only know of that society, only those people, only the soldiers, the only memory I had was the soldiers, and the only encounter I have is negative. So hatred, bitterness, anger, all of these were emotions that I had all through that period.
And that's how Aziz spent most of his teenage years, reeling from his brother's death and thinking about vengeance. But as he got older, he had to figure out what to do with his life. And he had to grapple with a reality of growing up in this part of the world.
Without Hebrew in Jerusalem, you can't really do anything.
If you don't speak Hebrew there, it's a lot harder to get a good job.
I didn't speak Hebrew because I thought of it as the language of the enemy and I was not going to learn it.
But Hebrew meant opportunity. So Aziz found an intensive Hebrew class actually meant for Jewish immigrants to Israel.
And I signed up for one of those with the thought that I'm going to go and learn the language, but not talk to anybody. I don't like the people there. I'm not going to connect with anyone. I'm just there to learn the language.
Mm-hmm. You kind of have to talk to people to practice.
Right. And it was an incredible experience because I get to the class and the teachers were just amazing. I kept thinking, why are they so nice? This doesn't fit into what I know about the Israelis. And then as we started talking about other things, I realized, yeah, we are very similar. We are extremely similar. And that was, I think, a major change of heart for me.
Explain to me what was starting to happen in your mind. I mean, was this challenging your identity?
It was an identity crisis. It made me question everything I grew up with. It made me question, what about everything else I know? What is right and what is wrong? If that narrative wasn't fully right, then what other narratives are also not right? And suddenly the whole dynamic changed, where to me it stopped being us versus them.
And that was simply because of face-to-face interaction?
It was because of face-to-face interaction, but also the kind of people I talked to treated me like a human being, like somebody who has the same rights that they do, somebody who saw me as equal to them. And to hear that from an Israeli, from a Jewish person, just changed everything for me because they weren't on the other side. And so that Hebrew class has opened a whole new world to me.
And that's when Aziz decided to devote his life to building genuine, real relationships between Palestinians and Israelis, relationships that went beyond just tolerating each other. And so he started by learning about the Holocaust. And it was something he kind of had heard about, but he'd never really tried to understand. So he first went to Yad Vashem, which is Israel's Holocaust Memorial Museum.
I was shocked by the atrocities and by the pain, and I found myself sympathizing.
He got a job in an ultra-Orthodox Jewish neighborhood.
And I was the only Palestinian there and loved the place, loved the food.
He joined a support group for Israelis and Palestinians who lost family members in the conflict.
It was hard, but we realized just the amount of misunderstanding is unbelievable.
And all this in an effort to build the kinds of relationships he built in his first Hebrew class. And in the end, he came up with a kind of surprising idea that the key to moving beyond tolerance might be tourism.
We realize millions of people come into Israel and Palestine and they leave very one-sided. They either go visit the Israeli side or the Palestinian side and they never encounter the other side. And we thought there's a big problem with that. And so we wanted to do something different.
And so what they decided to do, Aziz explained on the TED stage.
You might be wondering, really, can tourism change things? Can it bring down walls? Yes, tourism is the best sustainable way to bring down those walls and to create sustainable way of connecting with each other and creating friendships. In 2009, I co-founded Mejdi Tours, a social enterprise that aims to connect people with two Jewish friends, by the way. And for example, in Jerusalem, we would have two tour guides, one Israeli and one Palestinian, guiding the trips together, telling history and narrative and archaeology and conflict from totally different perspectives. Imagine with me, if the 1 billion people who travel internationally every year travel like this, not being taken in the bus from one side to another, from one hotel to another, taking pictures from the windows of their buses of people and cultures, but actually connecting with people. You know, I remember having a Muslim group from the UK going to a house of an Orthodox Jewish family and having their first Friday night dinners, that Sabbath dinner, and eating together chameen, which is a Jewish food, a stew. Just having the connection of realizing after a while that 100 years ago, their families came out of the same place in Northern Africa. This is not a photo profile for your Facebook. This is not disaster tourism. This is the future of travel.
We try to show the complexity and say, we're not here to tell you what really to believe. This is not a propaganda trip. This is a trip to show you a place, to show you the real thing about the place, to hopefully inspire you to care about this place and to leave here thinking and feeling, what can I do to help these people, to have compassion on them? You could still be more pro-Israel or more pro-Palestine. That is likely to happen. But maybe you would leave with more compassion. That's our hope.
It's interesting because asking people to be tolerant isn't that hard. I mean, asking people to tolerate with contempt somebody who lives down the street, but to just deal with it, it's not that big of a challenge. Most people can handle that. It's the next step that's hard.
Yep. It's reconciliation, which is what we were trying to do. We realized what we needed wasn't tolerance, but was more reconciliation. Bringing people to understand each other, bringing people to see themselves as one, realizing our pain is similar, that our blood color are the same, that our tears are as bitter. And having that understanding made a difference. But think about it. We grow up, regardless, not only Israel and Palestine, it's true here in America, it's true everywhere. You grow up with propaganda. And it is very hard to change that unless we change the narrative. If we can do this, I think there's no way this conflict could survive, or any conflict. I think it will make a big change.
That's Aziz Abu Sara. His company is called Mejdi Tours. You can see his entire TED Talk at TED.com. Hey, thanks for listening to our show Beyond Tolerance this week. If you want to find out more about who was on it, go to ted.npr.org. To see hundreds more TED Talks, check out ted.com. Our production staff at NPR includes Jeff Rogers, Brent Bachman, Megan Kane, Sanaz Meshkinpour, and Neva Grant, with help from Daniel Shukin. Our intern is Maria Paz Gutierrez. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Darren Triff, and Janet Lee. If you want to let us know what you think about the show, you can write us at tedradiohour@npr.org. And you can follow us on Twitter. It's @tedradiohour. I'm Guy Raz, and you've been listening to Ideas Worth Spreading right here on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.